Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Our conversation today will be very practical ways that we can live out our faith, practical and strategic, and really fulfilling the Great Commission. I came across a statement that says, reaching and discipling international students is possibly the most strategic mission in God's kingdom today for fulfilling the Great Commission. Pretty interesting statement. We're going to address it today. I saw this online. It's got to be true, Ted, if I saw it online.
Yeah, right.
It says, an estimated 900,000 foreign students are enrolled in American higher education institutions this year. That's an astonishing 40% increase in international student enrollments over the past decades.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Well, you think about the opportunities that are before us to befriend and care for young men and women, and in some cases, older adults who are here studying. But these are men and women that have influence when they go back to their native land. They speak multiple languages generally, fluently. They know their own culture well. They're future leaders, respected for their education. They already have many relationships back home anyway. They don't need visas to go to their own countries. So think about if we can share the love of Christ here, what an impact that can make. We're going to talk about it today.
Very timely with the holidays here, too.
That's
maybe
right.
An extra opportunity.
Well, this we'll find out how our guests had Thanksgiving, and if it involved international students, I'm sure it did. Let me introduce our panel today. I don't know if it's really a panel. It's
more than one person.
It's more than one person. I was going to say a passel. But anyway, it's a bunch of folk in the studio today. Kathleen Snow-McCosco is back with us. She has been a longtime pastor at Stadium Village Church in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, just recently retired, but continues to volunteer in the International Student Ministries, Ministry Connections International. And she and her husband have children, grandchildren. And she's got a great story. We'll catch up with Kathleen as well. We go along. Barbara Federepo works with Connections International and also with Stadium Village Church and African Christian Fellowship. She's a global partner, international student minister, born and raised in New York, but married an international student from Nigeria. And the family eventually moved to Nigeria for 12 years or so, and then they came back to the States. She's been working international ministry since that time. Robert is came to Christ in his college years, and God just put it on his heart to reach out to people who are hard-hearted to the gospel, and so he has a engagement and involvement with the Muslims in the Twin Cities area, and we're going to find out a little bit about that. And then Bob and Joanne Craftson, they began volunteering with China Outreach Ministries back about 15 years ago or so, and after they retire, they officially join the staff in a tent-making capacity, and they work organizing monthly friendship dinners and social activities and lead small group studies. And so I'll just do a general welcome to all of you guys. Good to have you here. Welcome back to Barb and Kathleen. And I guess to Bob and Joanne were here a couple of years ago as well. Robert, great to meet you. Kathleen, I'm going to start with you. What was Thanksgiving like for you, and did it involve international students?
Of course, it involved international students because it's a great way to connect with people over a table. Actually, we went out to a relative's gorgeous house on Lake Minnetonka, and I had to remind the four students that went with us, one was Muslim from Iran and three were from China, that not all Americans live like this. And so it was a treat for them, I'm sure, to see an old home beautifully decorated for Christmas and to partake in all the trappings of, you know, the meal, the turkey. And we had grandchildren play the piano for them. And one of them, one of the Chinese students, is a beautiful singer. And so he sang for us. And we were treated with bingo, Thanksgiving bingo, called Gobble.
Okay.
And it was a good time for us also to tell the Thanksgiving story of the first people that came as refugees religious refugees to the United States.
Yeah. This holiday, I mean, the holiday season is a good time to make connections, isn't it, with international students? I mean, any time is a good time, I guess, but maybe particularly this time. So.
Exactly. And it's sort of just one day, whereas Christmas for families, it might be a little more difficult for them to host students because it goes over a period of time and families are around for longer. But still, it's a marvelous, if people can open up their homes at Christmas to students, it speaks volumes to the students.
Baba Joanna, you work with China Outreach Ministries. Were international students a part of your Thanksgiving gatherings?
We did have five Chinese girls along with our son and his family. And so we did enjoy having a mixed group in that way and had a very nice dinner together. Our family enjoys getting to know the Chinese students and interacting with them. We had an opportunity, each of us around the table, to share just what we were thankful for this Thanksgiving.
It is not all of the students come with an interest in Christianity, but they all come curious about American culture. And so the holidays are a great time. They do want to learn about American culture.
So Kathleen said they played some games, sang some songs. I mean, would those be typical things that would happen in when you have a gathering in your home? Something.
Yeah,
like that?
Well, actually, we did that too, okay. And I think they enjoyed that. So,
sure. Yeah. Good. Yeah. All right, we want to meet Robert, and Robert actually is maybe not his real name because he's working in a kind of sensitive circumstance. But share a little bit about your story. Came to faith in your college years and started engaging in a particularly heart for those from the Muslim world.
Yeah, so it was kind of accidentally that I got involved reaching out to Muslims. I had been driving past a Somali apartment building in the Twin Cities on my way to work every day and just thought, Lord, you know, you've brought these people here, similar to international students. He's bringing these people here. What do you want to do with them, God? And as I prayed, he led me to a volunteer capacity, engaging Somalis, teaching them English. And then from there, just a few other steps to reaching out to Middle Eastern international students. So I've been working with them for about a year and a half, mostly trying to find long-term host families. They really enjoy living with a family while they're here.
Do most international students are living on campus, or they're near campus, or is housing one of the big issues and big opportunities?
It is. They do want to live as close as possible. Usually, they don't have a car; that's very expensive, and it's cold here in the winter. So, if they can live as close as they can, it makes a difference. And my husband and I were offered a duplex across the street from the university, with 10 bedrooms, and we bought it. And my husband said, all these years you've tried to keep me away from the U because he's a professor that works to midnight every night, and now you want to move there. But it's been a marvelous opportunity for us to live with the students. So 7 or 8 of our bedrooms go to the students, and we get together every other week around a table for a meal, they don't want to eat a meal. It takes too long to prepare because it was potluck, and so we have dessert now. But we share what's going on in our lives. We get into groups and pray for each other, even if they're not Christian. They know they need prayer. And we can help them learn how to drive if they have a car. We take them shopping every other week. And so it's a very hands-on ministry, although I don't see them very much because everybody's very immersed in their studies. They're really here to study, not to party.
Yeah. Barbie, you actually, I think, started working with international students, I guess, in a sense, when your family went to Nigeria, right, and then came back. I mean, tell us a bit about your story.
Yes. I went to Nigeria in 1983, December, and as soon as I got there, I myself was an international there, so I had to learn how to adjust to international culture myself. And God was so good that he placed me at an international organization arranging travel from all around the world for training programs and for outreach and for also for agricultural research. And so I had an opportunity to intermix with families from all over the world, and they came as families because housing was provided, and I did a lot of work with international Nigerian students as well as the families, international families that accompanied the scientists. And so that was my opportunity to diversify my internationality besides Nigerians, but also with people from many other cultures.
You know, we mentioned that there are thousands in our higher education institutions. So give me a sense of is there a typical international student demographic, and how has that maybe changed over the past 10, 20 years?
Probably the biggest change in terms of Chinese is that we now have hundreds of undergrads. 5 years ago or so, there were virtually no undergrads. And the university, like many other schools around the country, is now recruiting undergrads. And it's a very different ministry when you're dealing with undergrads. But beyond that, we have graduate students in either a master's or a PhD. We have postdocs who already have their PhD and they're here doing research. And then we have visiting scholars. And visiting scholars generally are in a graduate program in China. They come here for 1 year or so to do research and observe, and then they go back and finish their program in China.
Another big difference, too, is that, and we speak about Chinese, but that is the major country for the University of Minnesota in the area. But the Chinese that come now are wealthy, usually. And it's shockingly for us to see what's going on in their lives.
Yes, and with that wealth brings the opportunity for family members to visit. And so another dimension that is different is now we also are in contact with their parents as well as their children. And there are many times that, not many times, but sometimes you might have a parent who is a Christian and has been praying for their children. And when they come here and they see them involved with Christians, they're thanking God and thanking us for the relationships that we built with and the influence that we have over their children's lives.
Another big change, I think, is the nations that are represented. So 10 years ago, we probably didn't have very many from the Middle East coming here. Now the top four nations represented, first is China, then India, South Korea. Number four is Saudi Arabia. There's a scholarship program from the Saudi government. The government sponsors students to come over here. So there are over 120,000 Saudi students in the U.S. And most of them, I know many people are still skeptical of what coming from the Middle East, coming from a Muslim background is like. But many of these students come over and they're very Western and they're very eager to learn about American culture. They're very eager to fit in and make American friends. So it's an amazing opportunity to engage people who you most likely wouldn't be able to visit their country, but you can get to know them and share Christ with them here.
We're going to talk more about how to get to know them and to share Christ as we talk international student ministry today. It's an outreach that really any of us can do, right? We can be a missionary without having to learn a language and spend millions. And these international students are here on a doorstep and looking for friends and connections. So stay tuned as we talk more with our guests today, Kathleen McCosco and Barbara Federepo, Bob and Joanne Craftson, and Robert with us as well. By the way, if you have a question or a comment, maybe you've been engaged in international student ministry or just have a question about some specific aspect, how to get involved, you can certainly call us. Join the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Back in a moment. Connecting Faith, we're talking about ministry outreach to international students. There are thousands in our midst, in almost in any location where we might be listening today. There is no doubt international students around, or international workers certainly, but we're talking today about outreaches that are targeting and encouraging and strengthening and building relationships with international students. Kathleen McCosco served, well, she was an exchange student and then ended up, I think, going to France for a few years, lived there, has led as a pastor at Stadium Village Church for a number of years, recently just kind of retired from that, but still actively involved in volunteering in their international student ministry, Connections International. Barbara Federebo served as an international student, well, married an international student from Nigeria, lived in Nigeria for a while, came back to the States, their family, and is involved in several areas, Connections International, Stadium Village Church, and African Christian Fellowship. Robert came to Christ in his college years, and God just put it on his heart to reach out to people who were hard-hearted to the gospel, and he is particularly engaged in students from Muslim backgrounds. And Bob and Joanne Craftson are retired now, but they're actively involved with China Outreach Ministries. And Bob, we just during the break, mentioned that you know, the ministry model is a little different. We're talking about the demographic. The students are a little different. You said that, you know, more undergrads now. That's unique. But the ministry model is different as well. Say more about that.
10 years ago, our model was largely around service, that we would demonstrate the love of Christ and build trust level by serving the students. Now they, for a variety of reasons, the students are much more self-reliant. And also things have changed at the university with all of the new apartments. It's easy to find an apartment. They're furnished. They don't need furniture. They come already with a credit card. They come with a cell phone. So that requires some adjustment. We're still trying to figure that out in many ways. But some things don't change. And I think the number one thing that does not change is that every student needs to feel like they matter, like somebody cares about them. And I think if we can establish relationships that show the students that we care about them personally, everybody has that need. I think also students still are very interested in and curious about culture, and they want to understand more about American culture. So it's always been, but even more so now, it's about relationships. We need to develop relationships with students, build a trust level. When they see that, then they often are curious about where it's coming from.
Yeah, and in terms of that relationship building and the time it takes to build trust, we also don't want students to feel like they're a gospel project, like we're just doing this in a way to convert somebody. Students can really pick up on that really easily. They're as relationally in tune as we can be. And I had a good friend, we can call him Mohammed, from Libya. And when I first started to get to know him, he told me one time that I believed in three gods. Muslims don't understand the Trinity. And the evangelist in me wanted to jump on that and get into a conversation, but the Holy Spirit held me back. It wasn't the time for that. It was time to build trust. And a couple months later, he initiated another conversation. He told me he didn't believe Jesus died on the cross. But this time we had had some trust built. We had had a good friendship so that I was able to ask him some questions. Why does he believe that? Where does that come from? And we ended that conversation just on the note of a question where he was thinking, well, why do the Quran and the Bible say different things? And then a couple months further down the road, he told me that he really wants to have God in his heart. He doesn't fully understand what that means yet, but you can see through the growing relationship his growing sense of Christ in me and openness to the gospel.
One of the things that is very important to many internationals is family. And they come here and they may have relationships with other students, but they're also interested sometimes in intergenerational relationships. And they're interested in, as Bob said, people who care about them. And so one of the means of ministry is to look for what are the students' needs? How can we feed into those needs? How can we assist in any way? And from that, they build trust in you and see that you genuinely care for them. That is the key, genuine caring.
You know, go ahead, Kathleen.
As we lived in other countries, one of the wonderful things was to go into somebody else's house to see how they do things and learn from them. And so it happens at our house. Sometimes I'll have maybe a tea or students are over for whatever reason. And I'll say, would you like to really explore my house and see, you know, how we organize things or how we do things? And yes, they say. So I take them around and I'll open my kitchen cupboards, not that I've cleaned or anything before they've come, but and show them just how we live. And that's interesting to them and helps them to feel like I care about them to enough to bring them into my home and be intimate with them.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. On that note, part of what I do through my organization is set up long-term homestays so that students can experience that kind of home life over 3 months or more. And we had a student from Saudi Arabia live with us over the summer, and I wasn't totally sure what connection was being built. There was a language barrier. There was a cultural barrier. He was 17, so lots of things going on. But at the end, he broke down in tears. He was so touched by the time he'd spent with us. It was really amazing.
Again, I guess, you know, the language barrier doesn't have to be a barrier. It is a barrier, but it doesn't have to be, right? If you're showing love and care, and that this is a you want to have a relationship, then those things can kind of be overlooked, right?
We all know how to love our children, and these people are children that need to be loved, really, even if they're in their 20s.
Yes. To take up on the note of the language barrier, this is one of the key ways that we come into relationship with students as well as their family members through teaching English as a second language, which we do through Connections International. We have daily classes. We also do cultural kinds of things with them. So we have a lot of time with spouses. And one of the terms is many of the spouses are very lonely, and particularly when they have language problems, they are looking for people who could even come and visit them in their home, or some of them are homebound with young children, because when they come here with their spouses, many of them do have children. And so this is a means by which we can enter into their lives with a particular need that they have. Just somebody who can speak English as a conversation partner is a very big thing to these students. And as you're working with their wives, the students, the scholars, are appreciative of the time that you take with their family.
Why don't you tell them about conversation circles?
Let's hold that, and we're going to come back after a break and talk conversation circles. Hopefully, as you've heard the conversation today, your heart's warmed a bit to the opportunities that are available to all of us to just reach out and befriend an international student. And we're finding out more about it in the moments ahead. Kathleen Macosko, Barbara Federepo, Robert, and Bob and Joanne Craftson are all here representing various ministries reaching out to internationals. We'll give you some maybe some websites, some of those things coming up here after the break. And also talk maybe a bit about a spiritual foundation for why we want to do this kind of ministry. All that coming up here on Connecting Faith. You can join us for the phone call at 877-93-FAITH.
But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching?
Talking about opportunities today to share the love of Christ with those that are living among us. International students by the thousands are here across the United States, and we're finding out about ministry to internationals. Kathleen Macosko has served as pastor of Stadium Village Church across from the University of Minnesota for a number of years. Just recently retired, but works with their international student ministry, Connections International. And Barbara Federepo is a global partner and international student minister. As outreach director, teaches ESL classes at Connections International and also African Christian Fellowship. Robert has working with finding host families for Muslim students to build bridges and introduce Jesus in a loving home environment. And Bob and Joanne Craftson are now both retired. They join China Outreach Ministries in a tent-making capacity, and they have been working there, I think, full-time for the last few years anyway, and doing just a variety of things that Ministry to Internationals do. And Barbara, just before the break, you were going to talk to us about conversation circles. Say more about that.
Yes. One of the big ways in which we reach out to students is see what is their need. And one of the needs that students and scholars and family members have is to practice their English. Many of them have been taking English for a while, particularly the younger students, but those who are older and scholars and family members and even those who are in graduate school need to sharpen their pronunciation and their conversation skills. So we have two things. One is we established an English club in which on Friday evenings, the younger generations of American Christian students are able to interrelate with students on an informal, fun basis on different topics and games. But where we're looking for the local body, the body of Christ to come together is those who are in the local churches. We have a fun way that you can be involved that involves minimal time. But on Saturday mornings is an opportunity when the scholars and many who are very busy are able to take just 2 hours to be able to come together with Americans to have a conversation on various topics. It's an easy way and a great way to get started in international student ministry. And it's a planned program. We provide the topics. There's flexibility. But one key that's different about this is an extended period of time where students can talk one-on-one with an American. And that opportunity is not granted to most of them most of the time. And so we look to the churches. We look to American Christians. You who know English have no problems with it to come and join hands with us in reaching out to these students on a Saturday morning. And a way that you could do this is some people gather together with their small group or with their class and come over and we will arrange it and we will fix you up into circles of small groups and also one-on-one partnerships.
I like it. Do we want to give the Connections International website? Is it connectionsinternational.org?
Yes.
And we just have to remind people that there's an X there. So it's CONNEXIONS, Connections with an X, international.org.
.org. And we are about making connections, but we are connections.
Yes.
And that X sort of symbolizes also the cross of Christ.
Yeah. This is are students that are here. Are they comfortable in the culture? Are they fearful maybe about the future? I mean, things have changed a little bit. Obviously, politically, we don't need to talk about that necessarily. But what's your sense of are they excited? Feel confident or?
Well, of course, we're more familiar with the Chinese, yeah. And the cultural differences are very strong, but they're not what they used to be because of the changes in China that this young generation is growing up with the same materialism that we have here and some of the same values. And so the cultural gap is probably less in that regards. I think there certainly is a fear. With the election, that the visa will become more difficult. It's already a serious challenge for them, not so much as students, but after their student years, they want to at least work for a year here. And I think there's a real fear that that's what is already challenging, what is already involved, the lottery where you have to go through a lottery and hope that you get a work visa. They're afraid that it's going to get worse.
Let me just interrupt. Do most international students come with the expectation or the hope that they can work here for a while, or are they going immediately back home to their country?
Well, the government has a policy that after they finish either undergrad or graduate program, they have a one-year, it's called OPT, which allows them to work for 1 year. And that's pretty easy to get. But staying beyond that, and I just read recently that about half of the Chinese who came here in the last 20 years stayed.
I think I've heard from Chinese students that if they don't get a job here, they're considered back home a failure. Mm. However, I have met Chinese who stayed and now wish they had gone back because the friends that they went to school with are millionaires. Mm-hmm. And they can make money quickly over there as well. So I, you know, it's changing, but it's still a desire. Their parents desire that their students, their kids that they send over here as students, stay in America.
This is another way that American Christians can be involved because we have business people, we have professionals that can relate to the students as they're looking for these OPTs. So we are trying to see how we can build relationships so that mentoring processes can go on, OPTs can be fulfilled, because if they do not find a job within 3 months, I believe, is it 3 months? They do have to go back without that work experience.
Talk to us a little bit about maybe just the theological base for why we're doing this, or what motivates you, I guess, just in terms of your passion for reaching out. I mean, we obviously the Great Commission is for all of us, for everywhere, but what is it maybe that motivates you when you think about why you do what you do?
University has a great website and helps for ministering to international students. I like this comment they meant. They said, "World missions via international students is hell's best kept secret." It is just an amazing way to reach the world. These students go back. They get good jobs because they've trained and been educated in the United States. And as we said, you know, Castro just died, but he came to the U.S. as a student, and he was not welcomed. Now, how would the history of Cuba have been different if he had been adopted, quote, adopted as a son into an American family, and they had loved him and cared for him? And I mean, how would history have been different? There were many leaders that did come to the United States as international students, and they went back home and built bridges between their country and the United States.
I think another thing that really draws us to this ministry is the biblical foundations and the scriptures that we find that draw us in following Christ and following the Word of God. Two that are especially precious to me are Leviticus 19:34, that says, "Do not take advantage of foreigners who live among you in your land. Treat them like native born, and love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners living in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." My other favorite is in Matthew 25:35, which says Jesus himself was speaking, and he said, "I was a stranger, and you invited me in." Remember what we do to strangers, and that word stranger means a foreigner, a visitor, a person that comes to your land to welcome them. And so Jesus said, the least of what you do for a stranger or a foreigner, you are doing it for me. And this is what draws me and many who are involved in international student ministry into this kind of work.
It's interesting. Joanne's cousin has been a missionary in China for 15 years teaching English, and we've had conversations, and he says, "You have opportunities that I don't have."
And I would say, as I reflect on my own heart too, when Jesus says, "Love one another as I've loved you, love those out there as he loved me." And I remember how I was a blasphemer and I rejected Jesus. I yelled at a friend, "Never say the word Jesus around me ever again." And Jesus still loved me and he pursued me and he came after me in ways that I wouldn't have come after him. It encourages me to go after those people who are far off too.
And there's really no better way to strengthen your faith than to try to tell somebody else what it's about. We learn and we grow when we try to explain Jesus and the Bible to the students.
Let's take a quick break and come back. And Kathleen, I'll maybe ask you and others can chip in. What would a conversation like that look like? How might that start? And, you know, some things that you maybe would say, or there's some illustrations or things that you kind of use as a way to introduce people more to the the faith of our fathers. We'll get to that in a moment. By the way, we're talking today about international students, and if you had a question or a comment, you're welcome to join our discussion as well. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Said at the beginning of the program today that reaching and discipling international students is possibly the most strategic mission in God's kingdom today for fulfilling the Great Commission. So our guests today just wanted to get their thoughts on, you know, how sharing Christ might happen in sort of an organic way. We've sort of touched on it a little bit more, but I want to find out more. Kathleen McCosco, Barbara Federepo, Bob and Joanne Craftson, Robert finding host families for Muslim students, building bridges there. So, Kathleen, maybe just start with you. I mean, can you give us a sense of, you know, some things that opened up the door for spiritual conversations?
I think our own stories really are, they can't argue with that. And especially if we were not brought up in a Christian home or family, that they're all ears when we start telling our story. Of course, another good way is food. I mean, you can't argue with food. And especially if you include rice or some of their foods. You know, I know sometimes
Which is probably kind of a do and don't. I mean, if you're going to have a meal, then find out what they can eat or what they don't, right?
It helps. Yeah. It helps. Yeah. I mean, I think I was surprised to learn that Chinese students really prefer Chinese food over American food. I shouldn't be surprised because, you know, McDonald's is everywhere, and they're standing in line in different countries to go to McDonald's. But food is helpful. And my husband is a professor, and he's a scientist. And they're always shocked that a scientist can be a Christian. So they're all ears when he tells their story. So that's helpful as well.
Yeah.
Another thing, whatever you do, you are Christians, and your everyday life is the greatest testimony to them. Which is another reason why it's good to home host, because they're in your home. They're in your home for the weekend, and Sunday or whatever day you go to your church, that would be an ideal time. Many of them come and they think we go to church. It's a cultural thing. And even many think that America is a Christian nation. But through your relationship, you're talking with them. They look at how you relate to your family, and then taking them to a church, your church, or you could come with them to Stadium Village Church, which is a multicultural international church on the campus, and that would be a way of bridging a relationship between the students and us on the campus. We have a very intercultural international service. We're very sensitive about language in the service, explain everything, and so you would be able to come and introduce us to your relationships.
When we had Muslim refugees from Ethiopia living with us, we would garden together because they enjoyed gardening. And I remember one said to me, "I see the difference between you Christians and you Americans and us. You love and you forgive."
And when it comes to having a spiritual conversation with Muslims, I think it's probably easier than most people think. We're at least starting from the same place if we believe there's a God. So you don't have the same barriers that you would with a secular Westerner. So it's easy to ask questions like, have you ever read the Bible before? What do you believe about Jesus? What have you heard about Christianity? Questions like that would maybe be not PC to have with your atheist neighbor, but really easy to talk about with a Muslim.
I had two students that were in conversation with me in an ESL class. One was Muslim from Afghanistan, and the other was from South America, and he was quite liberal. And it was very interesting because the Muslim and I were agreeing on everything we were talking to this liberal student about. And I felt much closer to him and the values that he espouses than I did to this student that was raised in a Catholic culture, but completely postmodern.
I guess one thing would be that that conversation is not likely to happen on the first or second or perhaps even third or fourth time, that it's something that happens as a result of trust level. Sometimes an initiating question can be, what did you have any contact with Christians in China or with Christianity? And often they have, either with a grandparent. One young woman we just arrived as a Christian because of a American who was teaching English in her university.
Yes, I'm sorry. We also have, like, some come with just a push maybe from their grandparents or anybody who's a Christian. And one scholar came and said that his grandmother said that he should find out more about Christianity when he gets here. So it's not just us. It's the Holy Spirit that's working in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And we've had students have dreams, and that has opened them up. But I do want to mention one important thing. Not only do they become Christians here, but the ministry of Bob Osborne is quite critical. He sends students back with the information of how to be change agents in their culture. And he mentioned that there are two cities close to each other in India, and one is a Christian city, and one doesn't have many Christians in it. And the contrast of these two cities is light and dark. It's amazing. And when these students go back, we have a woman from Mozambique living with us, and she'll go back as a high-level cabinet minister in education. And she'll use the education she's gotten here to help, you know, encourage and improve her country.
Bob Osborne is Wilberforce Academy, where they train future leaders to think biblically, and they have a great work there, I know. And as you said, these young men and women have influence almost automatically as they go back. Bob, you were saying, you know, spiritual conversations may not happen in that first time, but it reminds us that there should be a first time. So, and Joanne, maybe just a thought. What's a good first step? Say, I don't know if I can make a commitment to be a host family for 3 months, but maybe there's something I can do. What would you say?
Well, we work with China Outreach Ministries, and we do depend very much on volunteers, American volunteers. And we have monthly friendship dinners. At these dinners, it's just a nice time to have a meal together. But there's also always a talk or some kind of a Christian aspect to our evening. And after the talk or whatever we have going on, we do have time for discussion and have questions prepared that the people at the table can talk about together. So that's one easy way to have a conversation with a Christian theme to it. We also have social activities, and those are opportunities to develop relationships and just in a very easy way, just talk about your Christian faith if that is something that comes up easily in the time you have together.
Just enjoy time together.
Right.
Just build
a
friendship.
I encourage people to take Japanese people golfing, because for them in Japan, I mean, it costs hundreds of dollars. It's almost impossible, and they love to do it.
Another thing I want us to remember, that not all international students who come are not, I call them pre-believers, because we believe God for them to have faith in Christ. But there are many that come who are Christians. There are even some that are mature Christians, and they're being involved in discussion groups such as Alpha at Stadium Village Church, together with another ministry, Prepare Ministries. We ran an Alpha program for unchurched internationals was our focus, but everybody, of course, is invited. And when they hear each other give testimonies, people from their own culture, and people who have a similar professional background or academic background like them, they listen. And so we had one couple in the Alpha program. They attended several times, particularly the wife, who was introduced to us through the English classes. She started taking English classes. And she, one of the first times that she came, She mentioned that there was something very heavy on her heart and that she was very sad. And so that's something you pick up on, and then you continue the conversation. Eventually, as she continued to come and we built relationships, there is a weekend retreat away, and both she and her husband accepted Christ. Mm. Now, the thing is that they will be returning home. And the thing is we also need connections in other countries. And so we build up a network. And we have many international student ministries that work together. And that's another key thing to mention is no one organization or individual is working alone. But God is using several organizations, several individuals, the volunteers, the host families, and all of this works together to bring these students to the place that God wants them to be.
Good reminder, too, that, you know, this isn't something that we have to do alone. Probably not recommended we do alone, right? I mean, just get plugged in with some people that are already doing it, right? And just sort of dip your toe in, get your feet wet.
And remember, Jesus commanded us to do this. So really, we don't have much choice if we're Christians.
Yeah.
In terms of what can people who are listening do, we talked about how important relationships are. Any of us at this table are limited to perhaps 8 or 10 relationships. So for the biggest need that we have for volunteers is just to partner with us in building relationships. And we can help provide the connections to get that started. But it's these other relationships that open doors and create opportunities.
I'd like to add, it's just as important that we pray. Pray for these students. You can affect someone's life without ever meeting them by praying for them.
Yes. And you don't need it to go do it alone also, because many of our organizations have training for volunteers who come forward, and we meet with them one-on-one or in groups to train them for how they can minister to an international student.
All right. Well, our time is gone. Hopefully you've been encouraged and that you'll just to seek God's direction for your involvement and engagement, and certainly just to take time to pray. Kathleen McCosco, Barbara Federepo, Robert, and Bob and Joan Craftson, we're just grateful for all you guys coming by today and for the ministry that you're leading. You could check connectionsinternational.org. That's connections with an X. Connexions International might be a place to start, or Stadium Village Church, or check InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, or any of these great ministries that have wonderful outreaches, China Outreach Ministries as well. Find a way that you can get plugged in and see how God will use your openness and your willingness to touch lives. So thanks to all of you for coming today and joining us here on Connecting Faith.
You know, God can use you in amazing ways, no matter how equipped you think you are. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and Steve Shoup gives us some encouragement.
God's not looking for the most talented, most capable person in the world. That should not be a roadblock in our life.
And Steve says it's your willingness that is key.
That's what God's looking for in young people around this world, students around this world, just somebody willing to say, here am I. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to use us to go out and make a difference in a world that desperately needs to hear a voice of love and forgiveness and of grace and all the things that the gospel is.
No matter what God might be calling you to do, he will give you the capacity to do it. Maybe you want to learn more about some steps to help you make a difference. Go to makingyourlifecount.com.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation today. If you want to miss part of it, want to hear the full interview, or maybe share it with a friend, you can always find it online on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. Tomorrow we're going to talk with Kim Cotola about her story, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion. That's here on Connecting Faith.